Thank you so much, Dick. That is one of those timeless songs, isn't it? And we appreciate so very much you sharing it with us today. It's good to see you today. And in our winter, early spring series, we're talking about being radicalized by Jesus. So I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke today, if you will, chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse 51. Luke writes these words, "As the time approached for him to be taken to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was headed for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to them, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me.' But he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, 'I will follow you, but let me go first and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is worthy to serve in the kingdom of God.'" Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have been able to enter as a family, as a congregation, into worship. We thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and challenges us and gives us a new vision for moving into the future. Father, we thank you that as we gather together and open up your word, that you take these very words written so very long ago and you breathe life into them for today. And that life, those words, this spirit compels us and shapes us, prepares us for kingdom work. So now we open our hearts and we invite and embrace your spirit to do what only he can do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage from Luke might not seem like it to many of us, but it is actually the turning moment in the entire gospel. It is the moment in which Jesus clearly and decidedly, unequivocally, is now facing Jerusalem. It is clear that everything from this moment on will have to do with his upcoming death, which would only be a short time away now, and that he has fixed himself to get to Jerusalem and endure the things that will fall to him when he gets there. But to get to Jerusalem, since he was up in northern Galilean area, he had to pass through Samaria. Or at least he chose to. He could have gone around it. And so he sent some messengers ahead and let the Samaritans know that Jesus would be coming to town. My guess is that when the Samaritans heard that Jesus was coming, they were probably very excited about this. They probably thought to themselves, well, you know, we've never had a great relationship with the Jews. For as you know, the Samaritans were half-blooded Jews along the way, over hundreds of years, Jews had married pagans during the time of the Babylonian exile, and out of all of that came the Samaritans, and there was always a rub between full-blooded Jews and half-blooded Samaritans. And so the word got to the Samaritans that Jesus would be coming through their area. And I suppose they thought, this is great, because we had heard that he loves all people. We have even heard that from time to time he went off the grid a little bit and he would talk to people who are not fully Jewish. We've even heard stories that he has done things for Gentiles. We know that he has been able to touch people and heal people, that people who were blind can now see, people who are lame can now walk, and from time to time we've even heard stories that some of the dead have been raised. And so there was probably quite a buzz around the village, around Samaria, around town, that Jesus was going to actually visit them, drop in on them. But something happened when he got there. What was clear was this, at least from the perspective of the Samaritans, Jesus was just going to use this town and village, so it seemed to them, to get to Jerusalem. They looked in his eyes and they could tell he really wants to get to Jerusalem. He is just really using us as a shortcut to get to where he wants to go. He really doesn't intend to do things here like he's done in other places. He really doesn't intend to stop in our shops, eat at our restaurants, visit with our people, take some time to have conversations, walk our streets, learn our culture, get to know people's names, and get a feel for what it is to be a Samaritan and to live in this particular area. And they could tell something about Jesus alerted them that he wasn't there to stay. And once they began to sense in their hearts, he's going to really be moving on. He's really not coming just to hang out with us. He really wants to get to Jerusalem. They got a little disturbed and ticked at him because they were expecting a little more from him. They were hoping that he would have a little more interest in them, that he was everything that they had always heard about, that the things that he had done in other places, he would do there. And so they were a little put out by the fact that Jesus seemingly was not going to treat the Samaritans, after all, the way he did everybody else. And so Jesus went there. They heard it in his voice. They saw it in his eyes. And off he went to Jerusalem. So I want to take this moment in the life of Jesus and the life of the Samaritans to offer this challenge. Because what is clear in this story is that Jesus was clear about his mission. And so here's the challenge. And at first it's going to sound a little odd to you, like, do we not do this? But here it is. That we move from our thinking in terms, as we often do, just missions, which is great. I know we all support and pray for missions, but here's the move. That we move from just a missions vision of life to a mission vision of life. And here's the difference. If all we did was missions, then when we talk about it, we are talking about the people where? Y'all can help me out. Elsewhere. When we talk, this is the way we think, is it not? When we talk about missions, we're talking about supporting missionaries who are elsewhere, not here.
But this is what Jesus did. Here's the challenge from this story and from his entire life. What would happen if our mental imaging of what we are about as a people of God moved from, but included missions, obviously, but suppose that we were able to move from just a missions vision of what and who we are about to a mission vision of what and who we are about, then all of a sudden, here is good news for you. If you take this as good news, do you know where the missionaries are if we move from missions to mission? Where are the missionaries? You're looking at them. That would be you. This is an incredible and beautiful difference. This is a biblical gospel vision of life. We support missions, but imagine what it would look like if the same group of people who supported missions, and we have missions education and missions giving, and all of that is wonderful and is great, and I'm glad we do it. What would happen if the same group of people who said, we support missions, and those are the people over there, and we don't mind cutting you a check, we don't mind hearing your stories, we love it when you're in town and we'll invite you to come and speak to us. Imagine the way the world would look if the people who said, we love missionaries, would actually be missionaries themselves. If we are the mission force of God in the world. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, think of yourself as a missionary. Think of yourself as a person that God has placed in this world, that God has put you in a certain job or neighborhood or family or vocation or wherever it is that He has placed you. You are there to serve His purpose as a missionary of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine the impact that has in the world. Now, there are not a lot of people of us here today, and that's okay. Because if we just have the people that we have, and among the people that we have, if we all agreed and came under God and said, God, you know what? This is a different way for me to think. This is a different way for me to wake up each morning. This is a different way for me to understand my role in the world. This is a different way for me to think of who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. If just the group of us who were here today were able to adopt and start living out more fully, it's a journey for all of us, to live more fully the reality that we are the missionaries of Jesus Christ on the peninsula, there is no telling what would happen. But here's what gets in our way. And we're all part of this. I'm part of this. I'm part of the problem in all of this stuff. So I'll own. Here's the part of the problem. We love to be parts of churches where we think of churches in terms of a country club. We just have, oftentimes churches have a church country club. And so we join up and we become members and certain services are provided to us and we can sit back and have certain expectations and all those kind of things. And we know when we arrive there'll be certain people to do certain things and we'll have certain activities and all of those kind of things. And they are for our enjoyment. Imagine a church that moves from a country club Christianity mentality to a missionary kingdom mentality. They are two different things. If you move from thinking of the church as a country club that does religious stuff at certain times, to thinking of the church as a body of people, as a family of people that lives on mission together in the world, you've got two very different visions altogether. Two very different ways of thinking, two very different ways of living, two very different ways of acting, two very different ways of waking up in the morning and saying to yourself as you prepare for the day, what is my day about today as a person who follows Jesus Christ? In all honesty, although we would love to have more church members, I wouldn't mind it if there were 1,000 or 2,000 church members. I would love it. But in all honesty, what God is really looking for is more missionaries among His own people. Because that's where lives are going to be changed. That's where stories are going to be told. That's where God shows up. That's where the Holy Spirit does His work. That's what Jesus was doing when He went from Galilee to Jerusalem and through Samaria. They were thinking, we're going to get all the benefits that He gave everybody else. He's going to do all the stuff that He did everywhere else. But Jesus was on a mission. And just in case you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to be on a mission where I hate the Samaritans. I thought God loves everybody. And Dick just so beautifully saying it. Here's the good news. If you read further in the Gospel of Luke, in the very next chapter, one of the most powerful stories, parables of Jesus, is told, and it's called the parable of the good what? The good Samaritan. Of all the groups in all the world that Jesus could have picked for this parable, when the man gets beat up and robbed and mugged and thrown on the side of the road, and the religious Jewish elite come by, religious leaders, institutional leaders come by and walk around him to bypass him. And then a Samaritan comes down the road and looks at this man, gets him up on his feet, gives him first aid, takes him to a hotel, tells the owner, the manager of the hotel, just put it on my tab, I don't care what it costs, anything he needs, you just charge it to me. And that guy is a Samaritan who does all of this. And Jesus says, look, the kingdom of God is not like the religious leaders of the Jews. That's what he's saying here. The kingdom of God is not like a priest. The kingdom of God is not like that Levite. The kingdom of God is not confined to the temple. Here's the power of the punch of the story, the parable that Jesus told when he stood up in front of a group of people and he said, the kingdom of God is like a Samaritan. They must have thought to themselves, I would drop dead before I think of the kingdom of God like a Samaritan. But that's what he did. The kingdom of God is like the Samaritans. The half-blood. The people that just one chapter before Jesus cut right through and actually made him a little mad because he didn't stay for a while. And once he got out of town and looked back, he said, that's what the kingdom of God is like. A Samaritan who comes down the road and does what none of the institutionalized religious people would do, but the Samaritan did. Because of all of the people in the story, not the priest, not the Levite, nobody from the religious institution thought of themselves like a missionary, but a Samaritan who probably didn't think of himself as a religious person was the only one who acted like a missionary. Isn't that weird? God is not asking us to act all religious. I hope that's good news for you. He's not asking us to act all religious about life. He's just simply asking us, would you act like a missionary where you are? Will you live like a missionary every day? You may think to yourself, well, I've never been on the mission field. How many of you have been to Walmart? Every time you step in there, you're on the mission field. How many of you have been to a ball game? Every time you're at a ball game, you're on the mission field. How many of you would like to take me and my wife out to Outback to eat for lunch today? And I'm not looking for many. As a matter of fact, I would take just one. Well, I now know where I stand with you. I guess it's clear. All of the good times have worn away and the honeymoon is long over. Should I go to the outback by myself? If my own family denies me and says, Brian, just eat there and walk home when you're done, when I am there, guess what? I am on the mission field. Imagine with just the group that we have this morning, what would happen if every one of us said to God, God, I will live as a missionary. Every breath will be about the mission. Every day will be about the mission. Everything I do, all the mundane things I do, I have to go shopping, I have to put gas in the car, I have to pick up groceries, I have to drop the kid off, I have to pick up the medicine, I have to pay the bills. All of those things, here's the cool thing about following Jesus Christ, you can do all of those things while living on mission for Jesus Christ. And you might think, that doesn't change the world. I got good news for you. Yes, it does. It changes the world a lot. Oh, yes, it does. God's just calling out, and He is challenging us. Every person who names the name of Christ, every person who follows Him, to live like a missionary. Now here's what happens when we decide we don't want to live that way. We just want to be a country club, Christian church, or any church makes that decision. I can already tell you what the end game is going to be for any church anywhere on the planet that decides at any point that all they want to do is ride out their life as a country club, Christian kind of a operation. Do you know what will happen to that group of people? Just take a wild guess. They will die. They will die. But it's an amazing thing that from Pentecost until now, the church, the living, breathing, organic church of Jesus Christ, has not been dead for 1 second. And it has seen everything. It has faced wars. It has faced disease. It has dealt with poverty. It deals every day with the gates of hell, and yet there's not a single day from Pentecost until this very moment, right here and right now, that the church of Jesus Christ, the people of Jesus Christ, who are part of the movement, who live like missionaries, there hasn't been one single moment in which the Church of Jesus Christ has been dead or in a coma or just tired or worn out. It has been vibrant and alive somewhere on the planet. In many communities, the work of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit moves on. But for those who decide, we just want to do church maintenance, just maintain what we have, just keep us happy, and trust me, this is the temptation of every preacher. Do you want to stand before the people and say and do the things that would make you happy, which I could do, but I couldn't live with myself? And the day would come that you wouldn't want to live with me if all I did was say the things you want to hear, do the things that you want done, and just say, you know what, these are the members of Ivy Memorial Baptist Church. Let me every Monday morning take a clean sheet of paper and write down all the things I can do that week to make those people happy. If all you want is maintenance church, you can certainly have it, but you will surely die. Would you like to take a wild guess as to about the percentage of number of churches who decide to go down the maintenance path is? Would you like to just pick a random number? I wish it were 50. About 85 to 90. You say, how do you know that? You haven't been to all those churches. I've been to enough, and I also know that we know that in the Western culture, about 85 to 90% of all churches are heading which way? Why? Because it is so easy in our culture for us to create groups and call them churches, and all of a sudden, as time goes on, we just do maintenance stuff, do things, create a whole bunch of stuff that people enjoy doing. And I'm all for enjoyment. Just do things that people want to hear, keep the people happy, keep them together, keep them, you know, just do all the things that make people happy. And they can also be a church person while they're being made happy, and they'll just keep coming to church, and they'll keep giving, and all those kinds of things. But the church, where the people say, we will not live maintenance Christianity, we will live mission-style Christianity, will never die. Will never die. What an incredible choice to have to make. But that's the choice that is before this church. That is the choice that is before this church and any other church. Maintenance. Keep things going. Well-oiled machine. People are happy. Keep providing stuff for them to do. Mission. What does it look like when a family gets together and shows itself to the world, meets where the world meets, hangs out where the world hangs out, listens to the stories of the stories on the street or in a restaurant or in a school, and actually, as a family, lives on mission outside of its institution, outside of its building, and crosses the street so that people can see what the love of God looks like. The difference on both sides of the street, the difference is life and death on both sides. That's a pretty significant thing, isn't it? Jesus got this. And so he kind of cut through Samaria, because he knew that the way that he could bless the Samaritans, the way that he could show his love or the love of the Father for the Samaritans, that the way that the Samaritans could enter into kingdom life would be if he did what? If he focused on his mission of getting to Jerusalem at the expense of his life, would die on the cross, be buried, and be raised on the third day. Jesus wasn't dismissing the Samaritans. It didn't look like it on this particular day. He was loving them. He was loving them because he stepped into their town on their turf, in their territory, and in that step, it was a step closer for him to get to Calvary. It was his way of saying, I love you. I'm here with you. I know you don't understand my mission right now, but in a few days, it's going to make sense to you that when I die on that cross and I'm raised on the third day, that the Father loves all people, and you will know, you especially, you Samaritans will know, that you are so very loved by the Creator of this universe, and you are invited into kingdom life. We've got to be that clear about mission. We've got to be that focused about mission. That we would live in such a way that as a family, not just as church members, anybody can do that, but as a family, we are doing mission together to bless the world in such a way that they see the love of God. And if we do that, if that's the DNA of who we are, if that's the kind of image of what we pursue, hell itself could not stop the revolution of God's love at Ivy Memorial Baptist Church. And I shouldn't say at church, because it would be outside of what we think church is. The world cannot stop it. So I invite you today and challenge you today. Spend a week thinking about your life on mission. And think of it in terms of this. You are the missionary. You're the missionary of God's kingdom. So in what ways might that reshape your life? What ways does that reshape the way you think? How do you go to the same places that you have to go to anywhere but go as a missionary? How do you do the same things that you do anyway and have to do but do it as a missionary? And rather than thinking to ourselves, well, I'll be a member of a church and I will go and do stuff and I hope I'll get blessed. Don't worry about that. Think about it this way. How can I live this day so that God can bless the people that I'm going to encounter today through me, whether you get blessed or not? But I have news for you. When God uses you to bless other people, don't worry about your blessing. It'll be more than you could take anyway. Just forget yourself from being blessed. Leave it to the televangelist. You do the kingdom thing. Present yourself as a person of Christ on mission, blessing others, and the blessings you get will be innumerable. Live like a missionary. And let's see what God would do. It's pretty radical stuff, isn't it? Let me ask you, if you would, please, to stand with me. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, you'll have a time to respond. And I will be standing here, and you may wish to come, and if you would like to pray, and today your prayer could be as simple as, you know, I know what it means to be a church member, and I do all of those things, but I'm not sure if I've really been living like a missionary, and I'm just starting to do this, or I'm not doing it fully. I mean, we all share in that prayer. I want to live like a missionary in the kingdom of God. I just want to live like a missionary every day and see how that changes my life and changes the world. I invite you to come and share in that prayer. It's the prayer of my own heart. You want to come and stand or kneel at the altar, and that's between you and God, or wherever you are, that's perfectly fine. But consider a prayer as simple as, oh God, let me be your missionary in this place. See how it changes your life. Our Father, thank you for this little snippet of a story where Jesus cuts through Samaria. And even if it looks at first glance like there was just no loss of love there because he was going through there to get to Jerusalem, in fact, what he did there was an incredible act of love because it was Samaria that helped him get to the cross. And he turned right back around. And the very people that were put out by him became models of what it looks like to live in the kingdom. Father, it is our heart's desire to be missionaries of the kingdom of God in this world. And there is no telling what all that might mean, how we might have to think about stuff and think about things in a fresh way, or how we might have to think about church in a different way. Whatever all of those things are, we know that your Spirit will lead us in a timely manner, will lead us in a way that we can follow, will speak to the hearts of people who are listening, and will take us to where we need to go. So we'll not try to push anything or solve all the issues. We'll just present ourselves with a simple prayer. Father, let us live as people on mission, as a family on mission, showing the love of God to those who are far from God. For that is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.